turn to, okay, well, that's that thing we do before the pastor gets up to speak, right? We come to church, and there's that music. There's the worship time that we all get together, and everybody sings, and they put music, the music is playing, and they put the words on the screen, and we worship together. Well, we hope that worship is taking place during that time. Don't get me wrong. But it is by no means confined to that time. And so I brought a fun little video. You may have seen this before. Skid Guy is one of my favorite guys that do videos. Here's a funny little video on the relationship between worship and music. The skinny on music. Check it out.
As a worship leader, as a lead worshiper, I'm doing something innovative. I'm using the heart of music and my heart to connect the heart of the people to the very heart of God's heart. I mean, that's never been done in the history of the church.
What about hymns?
Him who?
Hello, my name is George.
And I'm Jorge. And we've just released a new CD, George and Jorge Remix the World.
Yeah, you see, there's so much great music out there that is worthless because it doesn't worship God.
That's right. So what we've done is we've healed and purified them with just a little touch of Jesus.
We'll give you a taste of it right now. One, two, three. So I put my hands up, worshiping my God, and the sin just flies away.
Wah, wah. Healing the sick like ya, preaching the word like ya.
Wah, wah.
You know what this book is, Skippy? This is the only book that should be in churches other than the Holy Bible. Yep, you guessed it. It is a hymnal where such classics as Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. You know, stuff like that. Good stuff. Awesome stuff. But you know, today's music, it's just a little too loud. It just sounds like it should be in a bar.
You know, the ancient church was really offended by hymns because it reminded them of bar songs.
Well, flip me over and tickle me twisted. Didn't know that. Still too loud. I'm just a leper, nobody loves me.
He's just a leper from a leper colony.
With scaly skin, he's a monstrosity.
Do de de do do de do do de do. Do not come, you must go, and your skin not show.
Let it show.
Must not show.
Let it show.
Must not show.
Let it show.
Must not show. No, 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 no.
Pharisea, Pharisea.
I've been caught a lot of things. Snake handler, reptile man. Crazy. But I'm tell you right now, there's no worship service that can shake two sticks at my chapel time.
That's for sure. Get back in there, Carl.
Where were we? Oh, yeah. My church believes in the fear of the Lord. And ain't nothing but the fear in a man like a rattlesnake. Tell me. You ever sung He Has Made Me Glad with a poisonous reptile stretched across your trembling shoulders? If not, then you've never truly worshipped. You don't believe me? Let me show you. Carl? Oh, Carl's out. Y'all start praying. Start looking around and start praying. I'm serious. That snake will kill you dead. Carl! Somebody get me some help. I ain't gonna touch that thing.
I'm not a heathen.
Ooh.
I just got saved by my good Lord.
Yeah.
I just got saved by my good Lord.
Oh, yeah.
I just got saved by my good, good Lord.
I'm not a heathen. Tonight's at night. Let's praise the Lord. I got some money. Let's tithe it. Tithe it up.
I'm not a heathen.
Yeah. The skinny on worship. Now you know the real deal. All right. Look, the reality is music and singing, it does play a big part in our worship. But I hope that today we'll get a better sense of the wonder of worship, the wonder of it. You know, what does it really, really mean as we go through the message today? John chapter number 4, we're not going to read through the entire text. So if you're looking for some homework, you're looking for something to do this afternoon or sometime this week, read through the entire account. John chapter, actually 3 and 4, great contrast with Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus, religious leader, and then Jesus in chapter 3, and then Jesus' conversation in chapter 4 with the woman at the well. I love just the paradox of those two stories, you know, kind of clashing together with the person of Jesus. But in John chapter number 4, Jesus is talking to this woman of Samaria. And in the midst of this conversation, just shares some really, really important truths about the subject and the nature of worship. And so I just want to start, let's start in verse number 20. All right, so verse number 20 of John chapter number 4. And you can follow along there as I'm reading. The Bible says, "Our fathers," this is the woman speaking to Jesus, "says, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But," verse 23, "the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." So this morning, as we rediscover church, as we continue to have this conversation about what the Bible says about church, and again, weaving in some things about adventure church, we find that worship is more than just the songs that we sing. It's so much more than the songs that we sing. It is a life that we live. Okay? More than the songs that we sing, a life that we live. So, four quick points today. You've got an outline in your bulletin. If you want to follow along with us this morning, that would be great. Number one, everyone worships something. Okay? Everyone worships something. When we talk about the subject of worship, it's easy to get in this mindset of, okay, worship is something that's over there, but I'm not involved in worship at all, or I don't get what worship is. You got to remember that everybody worships something. We were designed, we were created, we were made to worship. In Revelation 4:11, the Bible says, "Worthy are you, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." We were made, we were created with this desire internally to worship something. You worship something. We were made to worship. Now, getting keys made. I don't really care for getting keys made, because I always wonder what is going to happen when the keys get made. I was letting my son borrow some of the keys last week because he was, you know, helping, you know, manage some stuff since I wasn't here. And it's like, this is like, you know, like the size of your key ring, you know, demonstrates how much responsibility you have in life, right? So he had a key ring and he like wears a lanyard and he's like walking around like this. Like, "Dad, I've got too many keys. I've got too much responsibility." You know, that plus all this, right, Josh? Okay, getting keys made. One purpose. Okay, there's really just one purpose for why a key gets made, and that is to lock and unlock a door. That's what they're there for. Now, they can be used to hurt someone, throw keys at somebody, or you could maybe even defend yourself. Okay, you may have used keys to like unscrew something or screw something in. Like, I don't have a you know, a screwdriver on me, so I'll use a set of keys to damage a car. You know, people use keys to damage a car. That's unfortunate. You know, heaven help you if you use your keys to clean your ears. But let's be honest. You know, we're keeping it real, and people use their key and clean it out. That's really nasty. You know, where that thing has been. Okay, gross stuff. But the reality is there's one purpose, there's one reason, and yet it finds this application all these different ways. We don't have to teach ourselves to worship. We don't have to teach ourselves that, because it's already ingrained in our system. We all worship. We were created with this longing for God, but once we fell into sin, we try to fill that void with all sorts of things. We worship whatever it is we put on the throne of our lives. What is on the throne of your life? That is what you worship. Now, in many cases, just generally speaking, it's ourselves. Okay? Rather than putting God on the throne of our lives, we put ourselves on the throne of our lives. And so everything we do revolves around us. And we become the center of our universe. And we become idolatrous of our own self and of our own nature. But specifically, thinking about the things that we worship and we put up on a pedestal: drugs, sex, fame, prestige, money, cars, houses, food, things, even Star Wars figures. Okay? Seriously, whatever it is that we put on the throne of our life and say, this is what is most important to me, that is what we worship. I get a lot of teasing about, you know, my Star Wars collection and my son and I Star Wars collection and you know, the different things we have in our house. And some of you have known me longer than others and will remember the day when my son's room was wallpapered in Star Wars figures. We had over 800 Star Wars figures in our house at one time that lined the walls. And then they started creeping out in the hallway, and my wife said, "That's enough, okay? We're done with this." And that was become, it was just becoming a little bit too much of an idol for me. So when you go to my house, and you're like, "Man, Pastor Greg's got a lot of Star Wars." It's actually a fraction, you know, it's just small, you know. But the reality is this: anything can become an idol. Anything can be something that is that which is worshipped in our lives. It's put on the throne of our lives. So don't fool yourself into thinking that you are not a worshiper. You are a worshiper. It is a question of what and who. What and who. What are you worshiping? Who are you worshiping? Is it yourself or is it God? Everyone worships something. Fundamental truth, foundational truth to the subject of worship. Number two. Our heart makes all the difference. Our heart makes all the difference. It's not about the outside. Worship is a matter of the heart. I love these verses in Psalm 51. Jot these down. Psalm 51, 16 and 17. "For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." Now look, this is the psalmist writing within a framework of the Old Testament sacrificial system. But what does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches that time and time again, God is most interested in our hearts. God is most interested in what's going on the inside rather than these external factors. What is legalism? Legalism is judging someone's spirituality based on external factors alone. Judging our spirituality based on external factors alone. So, hey, they go to church. They must be good, right? No. They do this, or they don't do that. I really see them worshiping in church and raising up their hands or clapping or doing. So that must be some indicator. We judge the internal based on the external, and that is a fallacy we fall into time and time again. Worship is all about our heart. Our heart makes all the difference. Are we conforming or are we transforming? I love that Jeff, you know, shared this morning from Romans chapter number 12, which I'm going to reference in a little bit. Verse 2, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, your heart, your mind, your soul, your internal structure, your internal being. What does that say about your love for God? What is God doing in your life? What is God teaching you in your life? Those are the things to celebrate. Those are the things to focus on. Let those things then bring out these external things that can be a blessing to so many other people. You know, we've been meeting the guys now for several months for our prayer breakfast, and we're gonna tweak up the men's prayer breakfast up just a little bit. We're gonna have some occasional times where we can have it not just at Perko's Cafe, but over at the Ministry Center, where we can do something a little bit less expensive and also a little bit later in the day, so we can incorporate more people. But the men's prayer breakfast has been a real blessing to my heart, because one of the main things that we do, I've usually got a devotional and something that I'm sharing, just something that God has touched my heart about that I want to share with the rest of the guys. But before we do anything, we take a few minutes and we just kind of, you know, open up the floor, open up the table for, hey, what's God teaching you? You know, what's going on in your life? What's God been teaching you since the last time? You know, it's a monthly breakfast. So what's God been teaching you since the last time that we met? And it's amazing. I love just hearing the stories of what God is doing in the lives of people, the lessons that are being learned, the trials that are being gone through, and the way that we can pray for each other and we can lift each other up. We need to get out of this mindset that says, well, if I look right and I dress right and I talk right and I speak right and I do right and all these things, everything on the outside is great. There's so many people on the inside, they're crumbling. And worship is not about judging these things on the external. The heart is what makes all the difference. Where is your heart with God? You know, we're not gonna give you a seminar. There's a great little thing on the internet that, you know, has like the different, you know, positions of worship. You know, there's the field goal, you know, there's the field goal one, and you know, there's the one-handed, and you know, all these different means by which we demonstrate, you know, emotion and whatnot in the course of a worship service. Those are all great, those are all fine and good. But if it's not in here, if God's not doing something in here, doesn't matter. Our heart makes all the difference. What is God doing in your heart? It's not about simply trying to measure up to some standard. Jesus came because we couldn't measure up to a standard. So why do we keep trying? Why do we keep trying to just please everybody around us? God says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And I'm here to tell you, you want to be a worshiper? You want to be a worshiper of God, come with Him with that broken and contrite heart. Our heart makes all the difference. Say, well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure where I'm at. Well, Psalm 139:23 gives us some great insight. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Let that be your prayer, even now in this service. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. What's going on inside? What's happening under the surface? Everybody sees this. God sees the heart. God sees our minds. God knows what's really going on. May our worship spring from this heart that says, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, and I'm grateful for what you're teaching me in my life. Everyone worships something. Our heart makes all the difference. Number three, it's a value we seek to embrace as a church. It's a value we seek to embrace as a church. In chapter 4 here, verse 23, as Jesus is talking to this woman, he says, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. The Father is seeking out these worshipers, true worshipers, worshiping in spirit and in truth. And we want to embrace this value as a church. We don't want worship to just be something that is kind of on the sideline. We want it to be a value that is embraced. Part of our mission statement is we exist to help people become loving followers of Jesus Christ who are committed to connecting to God and with others. Connecting to God in worship. Connecting to others in faith and friendship, but connecting to God and others. That's part of our heartbeat. We want to follow this mandate that we've been given to be that kind of a worshiper. So some of what we value about worship. We value corporate worship. In Hebrews, we read about not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. We value this time. We value the opportunity to come together as a church family. We're going to talk in just a minute about worship isn't designated to just a time or a place. Okay, we get that. But there's a value. There is a value in God's people coming together to worship corporately. And we want to embrace that value. And we hope that you will come and be a part of these services so that we can together as a family. Look, I've been worshiping for the last 13 days since I saw you last. I believe I have been, okay? But there's something special about getting together with God's people and worshiping. And when we're not here, we miss it. We miss it. We just miss it. So we want to value corporate worship. We want to value participatory worship. I don't know if that's a word, but it's a word now. I made it up. In Psalm 100, I'm just going to read this for you. There's a lot of text I could have shared as it relates to being a participant in worship rather than just a spectator in worship. But let me just read this Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and His faithfulness to all generations. Worship is something that we participate in. It's not something that we watch. Okay? So Jeff and the band, we are immensely blessed. We are immensely blessed by the talent and the abilities that God has sent to Adventure Church to lead us in worship. But that's what they're doing. They're leading us in worship. so that we're not just spectators, we are participants in the worship. And whether that's with singing of the songs or clapping of the hands or lifting up our hands in worship. And everyone's got their own comfort level. I totally get that. And we're not going to be legalistic on the other side of the fence that says, well, if they were really worshiping, they'd be lifting their hands at this verse. You know, this is a chorus where clearly you'd be raising your hands, and clearly this is a time you'd be doing this. And we're not going to go down that road, because that's legalism. That's judging spirituality based on external things. But participate. Participate in the worship service. Be involved in what's happening. So corporate worship, participatory worship, authentic worship. Authentic worship. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And we talked about this, you know, a few weeks ago, so I'm not gonna spend a lot of time here. But just being real. Being real. Coming as we are. You know, God knows everything about us. God knows what's good. God knows exactly the kind of week that you've had. God knows exactly what's going on in your marriage. God knows exactly what's going on with that coworker that you can't stand. God knows everything about what's going on in your life. So when we come to church, let's worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's not try to wear this, because we sometimes wear this mask with other people. Let's not even try to wear a mask with God. And try to pretend we're saying that we're not. Yeah, I got him. I'm here, and oh, everything is good. Oh, you know, praise the Lord and bless His name. And oh, you know, when the reality is, man, we're hurting inside, and there's stuff going on, and we need a touch from God. We need the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts in a meaningful way. So may our worship be authentic, real, in spirit and in truth, transparent. And fourthly, sacrificial. Sacrificial worship. You know, the very first time that the word worship is used in the Bible is in reference to Abraham offering his son Isaac to the Lord, back in the book of Genesis. We're going to go and we're going to worship. There's always been a connection between worship and sacrifice. And so a sacrificial worship. Jeff shared the verses here just this morning. Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. To be sacrificial in our understanding of what it means to put God at the center of our lives. So it's a value we seek to embrace as a church. And we're going to do our very best, and we're going to, as we've said in other situations, we're going to slip up, we may stumble, we may make mistakes from time to time, but we're going to take what the Bible teaches about worship, and we're going to seek to incorporate that into the DNA and culture of Adventure Church of Yuba City. That's our prayer as a pastor and our prayer as a leadership team. Okay, and number four, lastly, it's a lifestyle, not a time and place. Worship is a lifestyle. It's not a time and place. Now, that's not to say it can't be scheduled. Okay? Worship can be scheduled. We can appoint a time and a place where worship can happen and take place. That's what we do here. This is a worship service. This is an appointed time where we gather together from Yuba City and Marysville and Sutter and Plumas Lake and Linda and Oliverhurst and all over the place, and we come together. And Woodland, sorry, Mose. I always forget Woodland. Sorry. And Woodland. And from all around. And we worship together. Chico, see, now I'm in trouble. You know, Jacob's like, Chico. You know, wherever you're coming from, this is the appointed time and place where we worship. Okay? But it just shouldn't only be scheduled. If this is the only time you worship in a week, is the 75 minutes that you're at Adventure Church on Sunday morning, you've missed it. Because worship is a lifestyle, not just a time and place. Going back to our text here in John chapter 4, the woman is having this conversation because worship was designated, was confined to a place, it was confined to a time, it was confined to a certain set of parameters. Worship was done at the temple. It was a place. Okay, so there's a rendering of the temple. That's where the worship took place. Okay, this next slide, here's a little diagram. So the temple, you've got all these different things going on. You've got the outer courts, you've got the inner courts, you've got different segments of people, different classifications of people who are able to go to certain parts. Then you've got the temple proper, where you've got the holy place where the priests, only the priests can go in there. And then you've got the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant is, and you've got a veil that separates the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And just one time a year, the Day of Atonement, the high priest himself, only he was allowed to go into that one sacred room and make atonement for all the people of Israel, that one place. Worship was very defined and controlled and very much about the time and the place. But Jesus says the time is coming and is here now. When that's not going to be the way it is. Worship is not going to be confined to just a time or place. And Jesus' sacrifice splits the veil. I'll go and go back. Jesus' veil splits the veil. Jesus' death, he splits the veil from top to the bottom, demonstrating the access that now we all have because of Jesus. And it's no longer limited to that time or place or date or schedule or calendar. We can all come. It is wide open and always available. So check out this picture of this phone. Okay? So for those of you that are, you know, under the age of, you know, 30, you know, maybe 27, 28, okay? This is how we used to talk to each other. Okay? This is a phone, and on the phone it has a cord. And depending on how long the cord was, you could actually maybe go to another room or go to the bathroom. But if you wanted to make a phone call, you had to go to this room called the kitchen that usually had the phone on the wall, and you had to talk to someone. And when you were done, you had to hang it up and you kind of would go back around your day. Okay? Doesn't that seem really like antiquated? You know? Because what do we do now? Ding, 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 ding. You know? Text and cellular phones and all the community. It's with us all the time. Okay? This is the way worship used to be. It had to be at that place, at that time, scheduled. You know, sometimes, you know, speaking to not my parents, but my grandparents, they would dress up to make phone calls. You know, when it was time to make the Sunday afternoon phone calls to the family, they would actually dress up and get around the phone, and because that was a huge occasion. You know, now it's like, okay. And I'm kind of at the cusp, okay? I'm 42, whatever. I'm in my 40s. And I still can't, you know, my daughter and my wife and my, you know, bless their heart, you know, use all the acronyms and the, you know, LOL is about as far as I go. It's got to have like perfect grammar, you know? When I text, I'm spell checking, I'm putting the right grammar, okay? Semicolon or comma here, like what goes here? You know, that's how I'm thinking through my text, okay? But the reality is, we've got this freedom of communication, this freedom of access to all these people, and that's exactly what Jesus did for us on the cross. He said, hey, you're no longer tied to the phone in the kitchen. Worship is no longer confined to the time and the place and the schedule. Worship is now 24/7, 365 days a year. You can come before God and be in God's presence. Worship is keeping God at the center of our lives. It's keeping God at the center of our lives. I shared this with the teenagers a couple weeks ago in youth group, and because I believe it's such an important and valuable lesson for them to learn as teenagers, but man, it's for all of us, this pastor included, because we compartmentalize everything. Guys more so, but all of us are guilty of this, okay? Here's work, here's home, here's hobby, here's God over here, right? And so when we never let, you know, God infiltrate the other areas of our life, worship is keeping God at the center. Everything revolves around God and His purpose and in His love for us. So in our marriages, can worship in our marriages? Yeah. You can worship in your marriage by keeping God at the center of it. You can worship with your job? Absolutely. Keep God at the center of it. I can worship God with my homework? Yes. You can worship God even with your homework when you keep God at the center of it. When you keep God at the center of your life, that's worship. And that's a lifestyle. That's not just the songs that we sing. It is the life that we are living for Him. As we rediscover church, we find that worship is more than just the songs that we sing. It's a life that we live. Everyone worships something. What is on the throne of your life? What are you worshiping? Is it yourself or is it God? And if it is yourself, what is your list of things that you have put on the pedestal? Tear those things down. Put God, make God the center of your life. Our hearts make all the difference. Is it a show? Are we just about the motions? Are we just about putting on a good face for everybody? Or is it truly directed toward the Lord? It is a value we are seeking to embrace as a church. May a spirit of worship really characterize this place. And it's a lifestyle, not a time or place. Let's take this devotion to God outside this place to wherever God has led us to be. Go home today and worship. Go to work tomorrow and worship. Kids, go to school Tuesday and worship. Worship wherever you are. Let me close with some practical applications, okay, and we'll be done. Four quick things. Number one, participate in corporate worship. Participate in corporate worship. Be here. Be here. Come with, you know, I've been thinking about this a few weeks ago. We talked about the family, you know, and the family dynamic, the family of God and whatnot. And I have this picture of, you know, if someone, you know, if one of your kids... If one of your kids just stopped coming to dinner, would you notice? Would you notice if one of your kids just stopped coming to dinner? Or just stopped coming home? Would that raise your alert level somewhere? Yeah. When you're not here, you're missed. You're missed. This is a family. When the church gathers at that appointed time and place, be here. Now, stuff comes up. I wasn't here last week. So I'm a perfect example of that stuff comes up, okay? And life happens to us, okay? And we're not going to be legalistic about it. You know, all the real spiritual people never miss church, okay? That's not what we're about. But make corporate worship a priority. Be here. Participate. Sing the songs. Absorb the melodies. Meditate on the truths of these songs that we sing. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you. I mean, all these songs, the Amazing Grace song, new song they played for us this morning. Great, great song. Participate in the corporate worship. Number two, read your Bible and pray every day. Okay? Read your Bible and pray every day. And it seems so simple, but it is so profound. And it almost seems like an afterthought that you would hear that kind of encouragement at church. But let me tell you something. Statistically speaking, less than a quarter of you opened your Bibles this last week. That's just the reality. Maybe we're above the norm or below the norm. I have no idea because we're not keeping track. But read your Bible and pray every day. Keep God at the center of your life. And that is a huge way in which you can do it. Make the time, take the time to open up this book every day. Read a psalm, read a proverb, read something from the Gospels. Go through a Bible reading schedule. We read through the Bible in a year. Read your Bible and pray every day. That will expand, that will increase your God consciousness as you consider the subject of worship. Number three, listen to Christian radio, either music or podcasts. Get your mind wrapped around spiritual things all through the week. Now, look, I'm a big believer in Christian radio and Christian music. There's K-Love, there's Air One, there's The Fish. We support Air One financially. Our family does because we believe in the ministry of being able to go into my car and turn on the radio and be able to hear music that is building me up spiritually. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that that's all you should listen to. Okay? I'm not saying that at all. Okay, there are other kinds of music. There are other places for music. Okay, and I like varied types of music. Okay, but if Christian music is not somewhere in your diet, your music diet, get it in there. Get it in there. They're great. There's great music out there. There are tremendous podcasts out there you can get dialed into. Get your mind wrapped around spiritual things all through the week. And that's a real simple way you can do it because you can have it on your iPhone or in the car or places that you're going. And then number four, a real practical one I want you to take with you today. Go out of your way to bless someone at work this week. Okay? And I want you to pick someone hard. Okay? Don't pick the person that's the nicest person to you, and you're just like hand in glove. It's so great. I want you to go out of your way this week and bless someone at work. Say, Pastor Gary, what in the world does that have to do with worship? Everything. Because that's making God the center of your life. And when you take that mindset of worship into your home and into your school and into your practice schedule and into your job and into your relationships, things are going to change about the way you think about things. Worship is not just a time or place. It's a lifestyle. And I pray that we will embrace that lifestyle of worship. It is a wonderful thing. Worship, I title this message, the wonder of worship. Because it is so much more than what we have sliced it up to be and categorized it to be. I love our worship service. I love our time of worship. It's awesome. I can't wait to get here on a Sunday morning, but it's so much more. Go beyond. Go beyond that and worship God all through the week. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much for the time this morning. Thank you for the privilege of worship. Thank you for Jesus and his death on the cross, the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God, that old sacrificial system no longer necessary because of what Jesus accomplished. And now we can now boldly, daily, no matter where we are, no matter where we find ourselves, be in an attitude of worship where you are at the center of our lives. Father, there may be some folks here today and they're really struggling with this because they want to compartmentalize you. They want to put you in a closet. Maybe they want to even put you in a guest room in a really nice place in their life, but they don't want to put you at the center. But I pray that today they might come to see the value and the importance of keeping you at the center of our lives. Lord, encourage us, help us, strengthen us today. Thank you for being a God who loves us and cares for us and knows our every need. And I pray that as we leave this morning, you would go with us as you promise you will, and that lifestyle of worship might categorize our week to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for being